It's a freedom machine like no other. Starting, growing, and cashing out of your own business.
Then all hell breaks loose.
Burned out, carrying all the weight on your shoulders, fighting fire after fire, never getting a break.
But that was so yesterday.
It's time for your business breakthrough. Break out of the bottleneck. Break through to new levels of success. And break into a life you love. Now from Park Avenue in New York City, here's attorney, strategist, and SBA small business champion, Nina Kaufman. This is the Business Breakthrough Podcast.
Hey, how are you? Welcome to Business Breakthrough. I'm your host, Nina Kaufman, coming to you from the heart of New York City, and I am glad you're here today. Thanks for tuning in. In this episode, we're going to chat with Julie Jakopik, who is an expert in helping business leaders lead better. And we're going to talk about picking a lane and staying on focus to build the business you want to have. So stay tuned for that. But before we dive in, I want to ask you, if you keep doing what you're doing the same way you've been doing it, how do you expect anything to change? There's a quote I heard in a workshop years ago. It said, if you always do what you've always done, you'll always get what you've always gotten. So I want to tell you a story about a business owner who did something different, thought a different way, and she started, can you get this? She started as a manicurist. And when she tells the story of what changed for her that day, she paints the scene. She's in her nail salon, she's doing somebody's nails, and someone came in with a beautiful, beautiful mink coat, just luscious and dark and rich. And the manicurist complimented the woman. She said, that is such an exquisite coat. How much did it cost? And the woman sort of sniffed at her and said, well, what do you care? You'll never be able to afford it. And on that day, this manicurist made a change. She made a decision to change. She made a decision to become an entrepreneur. And not only did she become an entrepreneur, but she became a multi-millionaire because that manicurist was Estee Lauder. And she became one of the most prominent entrepreneurial women on the planet because she thought differently and she acted differently and she expanded that vision of how she saw herself in business. And that's why I'm so excited to have our special guest this week, because she talks about how business owners can become better business leaders. Now, Julie Jakopik, as she says, has never been one to neatly fit in the box. Either she couldn't or she wouldn't decide which box she needed to be in. And even as a kid, she was an actor, a synchronized swimmer, and president of the World Affairs Club in high school. I mean, that's a really unusual combination. And so as an adult, she has led organizations in the nonprofit sector, the public sector, and the corporate sector, and has really sought to bring the best of each to bear on the others. And really has a sense of the crazy and pervasive things that cross them all. So her mission really is to help leaders lead better so they can create workplaces that work for the people who work there and create outstanding results. And so we're delighted to have her here on Business Breakthrough. Hi, Julie. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Nina. I really appreciate the opportunity to visit with you. I hope you're having a great beginning of your year.
Yes. Thank you. And when we spoke earlier, you kind of threw down the gauntlet, which I thought was so interesting. You know, where business owners need to stop hiding in a way in their business. You said shrink or grow. Those are your two choices, shrink or grow, because you can't stand still. Otherwise, someone's going to run you over. So well, can you talk a little more about, you know, what does that mean and how do you choose and how did that come up in your business?
You know, when I started my business, I had a couple of clients and I was desperately terrified that I would never have any new ones. And so work came and I took it. And when I first started my business, I was the quintessential typical new entrepreneur, right? So I did everything for myself. So my online presence was me. My scheduling of appointments was me. My fixing my computer was me. And oh yeah, there's the doing of the work.
All right. And we know you've had training being your own tech support, of course.
Oh, yeah, I had great training. I'm pretty logical. I am someone who, when I was in a company and there was a tech person they didn't like when I called because they couldn't get away with, did you check the cables? And the other stupid things we've all called tech support for. my own high competency needs mean that I have a list of all those dumb things and I fix those first. So, mm-hmm.
'cause right. Is the computer on? Right.
Right. You know, so you're in this place where you're doing everything yourself, and most of us are capable of a crazy life for a while, but it's not a permanent choice. And so you either have to decide that I'm going to, well, I guess there really are three choices. You could decide to work 100-hour weeks for the rest of your life, but most of us who've started our own service businesses or professional services businesses, in part, one of the reasons we did it is we didn't want to do that anymore.
Right, right, exactly.
So you could do that. Or you can shrink to what you can do if you're going to do everything to what's just on your plate and get control of your life that way, but you may spend less time doing the stuff you love. Or you can figure out, figuring it out is a journey, how to grow. And, you know, I have a friend who talks about three kinds of business owners, hobbyists, mm-hmm. Solopreneurs, and small companies. And I think it is absolutely crucial to decide, not be run over by the choice, but actually make a choice. What are those things you want? And if you love your day job, but you have this interest in creating a product on the side, and it's going to be something you do as a part-time job, then decide that's what you want to do. If you want to turn that thing, whatever it is, into a full-time practice, then decide that what you want is a practice and build it on that, on a practice model. If you want to build a company, decide that's what you want to do, because you're going to do different things in each of those. And as a solopreneur, there comes a point where if you keep taking everything that comes over the transom, if you're lucky, you're not going to have any time for a life.
Right. And it sounds like you're saying, you know, you want to be very intentional about picking a lane. Doesn't matter which one you choose, no judgment, but pick a lane.
Exactly.
Because
exactly.
that's going to shape the way you spend your time, how you think about moving forward with your business, and the resources that you need to get yourself to the next stage.
Yeah, and it really means taking a step back and doing that, because a lot of us will live through a painful day one day at a time for 10 years.
you know what they said, the sound of recognition is laughter. So I am laughing.
Yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. And tomorrow, 6 months later, is now you've lived through 6 months of crazy. You haven't solved the problem. You've made a bunch of decisions that you might not have made. If, you know, if you're going the solopreneur route, you're not going to take on yet one more giant project you don't like. But if you never make a decision about that, you'll do it.
Right. Right. And a lot of your work is helping business people really become business leaders. Why is that so important, especially for solopreneurs and small business owners?
I think there's a few answers to that. So let me see if I hit it in what's my immediate response. When people become solopreneurs, there's a group of people who do it because they want out of the office politics. They want to just do their work. Mm-hmm. The truth is that you can't, at some point, unless you have one dream, only one big enough dream client who will never go away, I can't think of how you actually get to do that if you don't also learn to run a business.
Right. True. Very true.
And that means, you know, it is about being intentional. It's, you know, it's figuring out where other clients can come from, because I think we probably both know the solopreneur who did that and lost the big client.
Right. And that's the person who doesn't eat the next week.
Or the next year. And I'll tell you, this has been a difficult year for me, because I had a big anchor client and a contract where the official who had hired me no longer has that job. Therefore, our contract no longer exists. And that had been 30 to 40% of my revenue.
Wow. Ouch.
Yeah. Ouch. Crazy year. It's meant really thinking about who I want to be and what this business is really about. It's been an opportunity to be really intentional, but it's pretty creepy.
Yeah.
And And if I wasn't used to thinking about how you get clients, how does revenue work? And frankly, even with that knowledge, it's very creepy. So I don't, it's, you know, if you really want a job, then let's find you a better job. Or, you know, where you don't hate the people and the politics. Or you want
good luck with that too. Yeah. Because there's always going to be like, there's always some crazy relative in a family, no matter which family.
Yeah.
There's always going to be some level of politics somewhere.
Right. But which ones drive you, which ones trigger you change? We don't all have the same triggers. So some of us can put up with something that someone else can't put up with for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of the people who do small business and that you may end up talking to, and certainly that we both know, are people who are, for lack of a better term, corporate refugees.
Ah, yes.
Right. You know, hated it. Got to go somewhere else. I can do this. I'm going to go do it. And they do to one level or another.
Right. And whether it was by choice or by happenstance, they're no longer in that corporate environment. Right. Sometimes it's not always their choice.
Yeah. And not everybody, not everybody should start their own business. Third answer, which I'm not sure anybody should start their own business, but not everybody, you know, some people, you know, someone whose brilliance is in complicated database coding shouldn't also have to learn marketing. But if you're going to have a business, you're going to have to learn marketing, right? So not everybody should do that. The other issue I have, because I like working with organizations and I've worked in some that were great and some that were awful and have had the opportunity to try to help organizations become more great, is if everybody who is innovative, everybody who is social, everybody who's a change maker leaves the corporate environment, and if we think corporate, or what I really mean by corporate is actually large and somewhat bureaucratic organizations, if all of those people leave, if we think it's bad now, we haven't seen anything. And not everybody should leave. So I'm much more interested in thinking about how do we make lives that work? And how do we make work that works?
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that's helping an organization, but sometimes that's helping a small business think about what am I really here on the planet for? What's my best skill set? Where's my genius? And how do I do more of that and less of the other stuff?
Great. And can you drill down into that a little more? Because that goes back to shrink or grow. If you have a sense, and my belief is that if you have a sense of why you're here on the planet, why your business is here and how it's meant to serve in a bigger way, then putting those building blocks into place can become easier. So talk a little more about how business owners can think through that system of why am I here?
Well, one of the things I ask clients to do is to play just for a minute. When we were little kids, we were really good at imagining things, and we didn't shrink our imagination based on what we thought was pragmatic or realistic or anybody would let us or what it cost. We had giant dreams. So I will often say, just for this next hour, pretend money's not an issue. Pretend time's not an issue. Where do you want to put your focus? Who would you hire first? What would you get off your plate first? And then we can go back and figure out what you put back, what of that you can actually do. Because I think there's a tendency when people are not intentional to A, believe they have to do it all, B, believe it will save them money to do it all. Guess what? I make a lot more money doing the work I do in the world than I did being my own tech support.
Yeah, and you're probably a lot happier too.
A lot happier. I'm not a lot. It took me twice as long. I'm not any cheaper. And I didn't go earn something else.
Right. And there was a title of an article called Fire Your $350 an Hour Assistant.
Mm-hmm. Love it. I cannot state it better than that. I mm-hmm. belong at the copier stuffing envelopes. Not because it's below me. It isn't below me. I've done it a ton of times, and sometimes I'll do it because I can be social and have fun while I'm doing it. But I really don't belong there. It's a ridiculous expense for my business to spend on my time doing that.
Okay.
And at the end of the day, our businesses are not 24/7, and what we spend our time on isn't actually free, because if it's on the stuff that we're not good at, so for me, that's certain kinds of details.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a big picture strategic person. I am the last person you want paying attention to veins on leaves on trees in a forest. Can't do it. I can do it. It takes five times as long. It's really expensive. And there's a whole lot of cheaper people who are much better at it. Right. Who hate the, oh my God, I have to go create something. Well, that's my joy spot. So, you know, it really is about knowing what you're good at, admitting that you're not good at everything, because actually nobody really is. And even if you were, you shouldn't be spending your time doing stuff you hate.
Great. Put that in the context of business leadership. So if I'm a solo business owner and I'm only leading myself or a small team, I mean, leadership has so many big connotations. What exactly does that mean? And what does that look like on a day-to-day basis?
Okay. So I think of leadership in a couple of ways. A, if you've ever had to get somebody to follow you, that includes children, you are a leader. And you can do it better or worse. That includes getting your kid to clean their room, right? Right? And it also, by the way, has to do with getting proposals done on time with crazy hours. It's all of that. So that there's a piece of leadership that goes into that. There's a piece of leadership that intentionality is about leading. I work with an awful lot of executives, frankly, who feel like they have no power and that their calendar runs them. And some of these folks are, you know, the national leader of fill in the blank federal program, right? They run billions of dollars. They're responsible for thousands and maybe millions of decisions that affect thousands or maybe millions of people. They are the decision makers and they feel like they have no power. The same way a more junior person has that feeling. And it's because we let all the stuff get out in front of us instead of us get out in front of it.
So what are a couple of ways that we can get out in front of it?
And that's the intentionality piece. It's really stepping back and saying, what is the end game here? What's the point? And make the decisions that drive in that direction. And the point is not every appointment on your calendar. So in my case, I have this big event coming up. So for this week, the things that are priorities on my calendar are things that move to making that event successful. And that might mean I take something off my calendar. Sure. It might mean that something I really want to do doesn't get done until the event's over. But I'm actually in charge of that decision. And I think we often feel like, well, I have to do this and I have to do that and I have to do something else and somebody else wants and somebody's going to be disappointed. And I have news for you, folks. There is no one more of a, what is it? Controlling, people-pleasing diva than I used to be.
Can we put that down in a bio? Controlling, people-pleasing diva.
Maybe it should be. I borrowed the phrase from another speaker, but I love it. Controlling, people-pleasing diva. If you are one, you actually understand that the controlling is part of it. Because what we're all busy doing is making everybody love us. I even used to want the people I hated to love me. I disappoint people every day, and that's part of being a leader. And because it's the only way I can do the stuff that really matters. And then you negotiate. And I don't mean that there's a party outside my door ready for my head. And I do care if I disappoint people, so I reprogram it. You know, at the moment, nothing's going on my calendar that isn't related to this event until after the event's over, period.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Far better than I show up, I'm distracted, I'm not really there. Right? So it's this decision-making piece. Part of leading is having folks who want to follow you instead of have to. And part of it is being decisive and taking responsibility for those decisions. But if you can step back and be willing to take that responsibility, you also can go to sleep at night. And that's till 3 a.m.
Mm-hmm. You know, and to that point about having folks who want to follow you, it reminds me of something that you touched on earlier about stepping into areas of greater visibility. And Simon Sinek's Start With Why is, you know, all the rage in salons and book groups and whatnot. And it would sound like if you understand, to go back to your point, what is your purpose? Why are you here? Why is your company here? Then that gives people a platform to either say, yeah, I want to join, or no, maybe not so much.
Right. Or I'm going to hire an accountant.
Mm-hmm.
So I am the vision person. I actually like being out there, and I'm actually really good at math, so the accounting stuff should be easy for me. But it's back to that detail thing. And so what happens for me when I have to sit and do my own stuff is I whine about it for about 8 hours, and then I do it in two. And that 8 hours I just wasted is so much better somewhere else. It's so much more likely to have impact in the world and generate revenue than the 8 hours of whining did, that I'll pay somebody else for the 2 hours of work that's actually involved. Right? And we all have the something we're like that about. For some people, another one for me, we were talking about this earlier, is the technology that runs our business. I'm good at a lot. I'm actually good at a lot of software. I don't understand my autoresponder. I don't want to understand my autoresponder. And when I started my business 6 years ago, I would have spent days learning it. Days learning it. And so I think for small business owners in that shrink or grow place, give up what you don't like to do. I give you permission to stop doing stuff you hate. Pay somebody to do it. And if you think you don't have the money, translate the hours you spend doing it into what you could be making if you were doing what you love.
That's a great point. That is a great point. Because I think a lot of business owners don't necessarily go through that mental equation, or they may say, oh, I don't have enough business to pay me and pay this other person to do, let's say, the accounting. So they're assuming that if they spend the time doing the accounting, they're saving money because they haven't seen that new client come in from that freed up time that they have.
Right, we think our time is free. Right? If I don't pay somebody else, it doesn't cost me anything, it's free. Not true. And frankly, even if it's not a money thing, it costs you playing with your children. It costs you going on vacation. It costs you turning your computer off. And by the way, it costs you revenue. And that was a hard one to learn. It was a very hard one to learn. But I think your headline has it all in it, right? I don't need a $350 an hour assistant. Now, there's stuff I love. So I love events, and I have planned hundreds of them. And so my colleagues think I'm insane for doing my own event work. I enjoy it. And I am a people-pleasing, controlling diva. So, and this is all a big party, and I like to plan parties, and I know exactly how I want my audience to feel. And so for me, it's fun. For a lot of people, almost no one I know can't understand why I do it. And yet I'm also really clear. The minute that event starts, the minute I check into the hotel, I am now the onstage diva, and I have somebody else who's in charge. There's a problem with the hotel, go talk to Jessica. But up until then, I'm happy to do it because it's fun. It's a game. It's a puzzle for me. If I hated it, you better believe I either wouldn't be doing big events or I'd be paying somebody else to do it. And so it really get this, humans are really weird. We probably do 17 shows on that. But one of the things that is incredibly weird about us is, unlike cats, we will sit on a hot stove. We'll go back to that painful stove, and we keep thinking if we sit on it differently, it won't be hot.
Well, wasn't that Einstein's definition of insanity, doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result?
Yeah, but we fool ourselves. We think we're not sitting. Well, if I stand on it on my tiptoes, it won't hurt. It's not exactly the same thing, but we still do it. We don't understand that pain is actually a message. Sulfur smells bad because it's bad for you. Things hurt because you shouldn't do them. And what hurts for somebody isn't the same as what hurts for somebody else. I actually think we are not here to be miserable. We're actually here to be happy in this life while we're contributing. And does that mean that I never do stuff I don't like? No. But given a choice, I want to spend as much of my time doing the stuff that I know is about changing how people see the world and how people play in the world and how people treat each other in the world and how work gets done. Then I can't afford to spend a lot of time doing stuff that I don't do well or that I do well and makes me miserable. There aren't enough hours in the day.
Right. And it kind of, to your point about intentionality, it pulls you off the focus. And you had a wonderful story that you told me when we last spoke about being the first National Bank of Julie and what that's like when you're pulled in so many different directions and I will say forced, using air quotes, to give in so many different directions that you may not necessarily want to do. So tell us a little bit about that story, because I know it's probably going to resonate a lot, especially for women business owners, mm-hmm. that can be roped into,
I think,
moving in different directions.
Their variant of this one. So I'm going to tell a story that's fairly dramatic, but in truth, if you have kids who are in school and parents you have responsibilities toward, or siblings, it doesn't matter how dramatic it is. It's still pressure.
Mm-hmm.
So right. My father died when I was about 14. My mom has dementia and has not always been stable. I have a younger brother with multiple families. I was married for 20 years. My husband died about 7 years ago. And I've ended up the matriarch of this very complicated, somewhat messy, often unpleasant family. And there certainly are days where I have sat in my bed, frankly, going, how did I end up here?
Right. Yeah.
What possessed my soul before I started this life to pick this one? Because this is not fun. And it isn't fun. And it is not, you know, there have been days where, you know, there's something blowing up at work. In fact, my mom has a capacity to, anytime something big is going on, have a massive problem.
Oh my.
Inevitably. I mean, I had the opportunity to speak on a stage with the president, and I brought my mom, and it was actually the only time she's ever heard me speak. So it was very poignant, but she also passed out.
Oh no.
As I'm waiting to go back into the kitchen.
Ay.
And
wow.
So I hear somebody on a loudspeaker messing up my name. And this EMT comes up and says, I just want to make sure mom has no other health problems. And this is a ballroom of 2,500 people. She's crossed the whole thing. I mean, this is the stuff that happens to me. Right? And in truth, she said, look, this is what I do for a living, and I'm going to sit with your mother. Don't you dare not go speak. I mean, she took care of it for me, because for a minute there, I'm like, bad daughter gets on this stage instead of takes care of her mother. And she looked at me and she said, I'm not going to let you do this. You are going on that stage, and I am going to sit with your mother. I just want to know if there's anything I need to do for her.
Right. You could see Twitter blowing up with something like that.
Oh.
Selfish daughter takes the stage while mother passes out.
You got it. Exactly. Exactly. Right. You know, and it's taken me a long time to understand that my mom's gotten mad at me before, and she lived through that, and so did I. I do the best I can. But the First National Bank of Julie's story is that this is not the only day that happened. You know, it's the funniest story, but there's been plenty of days where, you know, I was about to leave for my honeymoon, and my mom, Oda, was supposed to bring us some cash because she was paying us back for something. And my niece had just been born, and my mom goes to the bank, and the IRS had closed her account.
Oh, my.
And this is almost 30 years ago, right? So it's not like you could, like, how are we going to get cash to take on our trip? Because you had to have the cash. And so I'm determined to see my niece before I leave, figure out something to do with my mother, while my husband is going to multiple ATMs with different credit cards to figure out how to have cash.
Wow.
This is the way my life used to work.
Mm-hmm.
And it took that kind of crazy. And so I hope other people listening don't have to get to that kind of crazy to go, wait a minute, what actually has to be done? Because I got news for us. Those of us who want to take care of it all and want everybody to love us and get an A at it all, there is no screw up big enough to stop the earth from spinning on its axis.
Mm.
And those people you think you're going to disappoint, if they love you, they get it. And even if they don't, if you don't take care of you, you are useless to anybody else. And as women, I think we come last, you know, I'll serve ourselves last, take care of everybody else, and then we take care of us.
Mm-hmm.
And for the people that applies to on this, who are listening to this, pull out your calendar right now. Put an hour, just one, on it that is totally reserved for you. Period. If you don't do that, you fry. And that's when you get into fights you don't mean to get into because you're so exhausted, you're brittle. But that's okay because you stayed up all night baking cookies or finishing the report.
Right. So how do you define that, that 1 hour reserved for you? Because it's so easy for me to say, well, I'll take care of the family finances. That's kind of reserved for me because then I feel good and secure that my records are up to date. Or my 1 hour is doing my laundry. Does that count as my hour reserved for me?
Only if you really enjoy it.
Ah. So 1 hour reserved for me that I really enjoy.
Yeah, if you, it really is about, and if you, you know, it's, if you go to things that are supposed to be fun and spend all of your time at them thinking about what you aren't doing, you might as well have stayed home.
Hmm.
Right?
Right.
So in your list, if the finances are making me anxious, okay. Otherwise, that's not usually something I enjoy. Laundry, on the other hand, I actually happen to love taking warm clothes out of the dryer.
Okay.
So as long as you're sitting and reading a book while you're doing the laundry, you know, as long as you're actually enjoying the experience and it belongs to you, I'm good with it. What I'm not good with is the calendar, and you and I both know tons of people, this is true. If I look at their calendar, it's all colored in. Every minute is colored in.
Mm.
Until about 10 o'clock at night. If they actually put everything they did on the calendar, I mean, and I'm guilty of certain things. I'm guilty of only having my appointments on the calendar and forgetting I have things to write.
Yeah.
I am guilty of thinking I'm on business travel and nothing accumulated on my desk while I was gone. So I think I have a free week when I get back.
Surprise.
Don't do that one so much anymore.
Right.
Because you make mistakes sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. But really, intentionally, if I don't put time for me on that calendar, I don't get it. And I got to a place where, you know, I do a lot of meeting with people. A lot of coaching takes place in off hours. There was last year, the biggest change I made for myself, thank goodness, is that I started blocking two nights a week out that belonged to me. Because at this point, I don't have children. And I could fill up every minute of every day doing stuff that looked like work.
Right.
And I literally two nights, you know, I am not doing five nights a week of meetings anymore. And it was no, and it didn't, it wasn't impossible to fix. Little tiny changes can have big influence. Two nights a week, there's nothing on my calendar.
Mm-hmm. And how has that helped improve your business?
I'm on top of it. So this is the second year I've done this big conference in January. And last year I sort of reverted to high school. And worked 24/7 and stayed up till 1 a.m, which I can't do quite as well as I used to.
Right.
And got up at 6 and did it for like 6 weeks, got through the conference, had a great conference, had fun with a couple. My speakers felt a little icky the next day, but not too bad. Not bad enough to not go do 12 hours of hanging out with folks. And then I got the flu.
Ooh.
And part of it, you know, and I, you know, we'll by the time this plays, we'll know whether I did that again. But I don't feel like I'm going to do that again. I'm not hysterical, and I'm not. When you know, I think there's a place when you get overwhelmed that you just will do anything, and I think that's the other way business owners make themselves insane is we do a lot of stuff that doesn't need to be done because we don't want to step out there.
Okay.
Right. Right. So I don't know what to do. So I'll do some more email. I don't know what to, everything's gets crazy. So, well, I have to do social media. So I'll just go hang out on Facebook for an hour. 2 hours later, you realize you're still just as overwhelmed. Now there's 2 hours less time to do it in.
Mm.
You know, I did that. And this might have been very intentional. This is a night that I'm going to chill. And this is a day that I'm going to take care of myself. And, you know, at the end of the day, and I get us over. I still, you know, the First National Bank of Julie stuff, I say no a whole lot more, but there's still a lot on my plate. And so there's a giant, I literally pulled out a like flip chart paper on Wednesday and put it on the wall. Wednesday was New Year's Eve by the time you listen to this. And with a regular marker, like normal size, not flip chart marker, started making a list of all the things that have to be done for this event because I felt like I couldn't get control of it. But once you have the list, then you can parse it and then you can give stuff away. Then you can decide not to do some things.
Right.
And being willing to say no and getting on top of it is, I think, a lot of the First National Bank of Julie is closed. She doesn't write checks for things that are not hers to write checks for. I have a whole lot more faith in the people who want my help in their capacity to solve their own problem.
Ah.
And part of, and let me say it again, because it comes from a very different place. I'm really glad we've talked about this long, Nina. I have a whole lot more faith in the people who want my help to solve their own problem. And that is from deep in my heart and deep in my bones. And my job is actually to help them have that faith. It's not to fix their problem. Because otherwise, I can fix their problems forever.
Well, because you're a controlling people-pleasing diva.
Right. And as a controlling diva, nothing makes me feel better than to be a fairy princess, fairy godmother, or ride my white horse and fix it. Because then they love me more. But then they will always need me to do it. And then I get to feel good about doing it and about being a martyr. Mm-mm. No way. Give it up.
And as I said, that pulls your focus away from your business and your growth and where you've set your intentions. So this, Julie, this has really been terrific. And if people wanted to learn more about you or get in touch or find out more about how you're working with business owners and leadership issues, where can they find out more?
So my company is called I Lead Strategies. So they can go to the iLead Strategies website, www.iLeadStrategies.com. And they can learn about the work we do with organizations and a little bit about the one-on-one work. If they want more about speaking and one-on-one work, if they go to the Who We Are page on that site, it'll take them to the site where I have my speaking and coaching work.
Terrific. Terrific. Well, Julie, thank you so much for being with us today. Really valuable information about being intentional, making sure you're getting help in all of those areas that you hate. And that way you truly are building a business that you really want to have instead of having one that kind of grows like barnacles on an old ship.
I love that analogy. Thanks so much for having me. It's
awesome. You are very welcome. Glad to have you here.
And thanks to you for tuning in today. You know, I really want you to have a breakthrough in your business as well. So as a loyal listener, I want to give you free access to one of my special video trainings that I call Ignite. In this Ignite webinar, I share my quick growth scale formula that lets you bust through the plateau, design a self-sustaining business, and live the life you deserve. You can get free access by going to businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Again, that's businessexponential.com/BBIgnite. Go there now, and we'll see you on the next episode of Business Breakthrough.